Hey, Carol, do you have a Stanley Cup?
No, I do not. But I just found out this past week about them that people were waiting overnight in line to get special Stanley Cups.
From Target, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that too. It's a cup, for goodness sakes.
Oh my gosh. I watched a video about it, and this is consumerism run amok. And then last week, I went down to Franklin to the bookstore. And as I was leaving, I saw two college girls walking down the street because there's a small college there. They were both carrying Stanley Cups, and I about died laughing. And I almost said, could you pose for a picture?
Yeah, because I want to put you in my newsletter about how silly this is. You've seen that reel, because I know, because you sent it to me, that Instagram reel of that person carrying the big giant trash can.
It was like, yeah, those are hilarious. Big 5-gallon things, like you put on a water thing and put in a big straw.
My gosh.
Because these little girls look ridiculous carrying around a 40-ounce cup with a straw. And then the accessories, Dee. You can buy little caps to put on top of the straw, little charms to put on the handle, little things to wrap around to hold your phone on the cup. It's just unbelievable. I'm sorry.
It is. What was the Stanley Cup of your youth? Do you remember one?
I was trying to think about this. And, you know, when I was in high school and then college, everybody had to have the hiking boots with the red laces.
Yeah, like waffle stompers.
Yes.
That's what we called them in school. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't remember. I just can't think of what we just died to have. Oh, I know. I remember one thing we had to have. This is dangerous. Do you remember clackers?
Yes, I do remember clackers. Good
the
grief.
Two balls on the ends of the strings, and then you would push it up and down and get them to clack against each other. And those things would shatter on some people, and there's like shards everywhere.
Yeah. I remember for my kids, Beanie Babies. Beanie Babies had their time in the spotlight. And I remember mom searching everywhere for the rare ones, and you found them at Hallmark stores. And I was just like, with my kids, I was like, I am not doing that. I will buy you a Beanie Baby because they're fun and cute, but we're not buying the special ones that you have to wait for months. And guess where Beanie Babies are now? In every nasty store. Yeah, gross.
Well, people thought that they were going to increase in value and that was going to be their retirement. And that's just like nothing. No.
And I have a Yeti cup. I have a confession. I have a Yeti cup and it's a big one, but I take it out in the garden and it locks and the lid screws on. I do not carry it with me everywhere as a status symbol. I just use it in the garden because it works and I don't have to go get more water.
And I have a free one. I put it on my story that I got from Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. I won a bag of goodies and there was a beautiful metal tumbler with a lid that has a little hook so you can swing it on your finger, I guess. That thing is really, really nice. And it was free. And it says Plant Geek on the side.
There you go. So there you go.
All right. Enough of that. Let's start.
Yeah.
Welcome to The Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I have a suburban garden measured in square feet. It's a snow-covered third of an acre.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. I'm Dean Ash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on an acre and a half out of 7.5 acres in the country. And we have had ice, black ice, snow, and we're supposed to have more freezing rain on Monday. January is roaring in like I don't know what.
We call ourselves garden angelists because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening and we want others to love it too.
Yes, we do. And we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad. And this week, it's going to be the ugly for me. But that's enough of who, what, when, where. Let's move on to this week's episode. Tell me about your garden, Carol. Mine looked so pretty until the freeze of all time.
So we finally did get a decent amount of snow last night, which is Thursday night into Friday morning. Enough that I went out and shoveled the driveway this morning and kind of disappointed because the snowblower that I got fixed 2 years ago, didn't use last year, is leaking gas. So I got to get that sorted out. But anyway,
in the garden,
I'm glad to have snowfall because it has been so cold. Inside, all my hyacinths are showing green that I put on the vases last week. And I accidentally bought another one at Aldi because it was further along. And all the ones I have are going to be pink. And this one is white. So that happened.
I do love white ones.
Yeah. You know how that happens. So it'll bloom first.
I do know how that happens.
And then all the latest sowings of microgreens are just about finished. So I got to clear those off and sow some more, but we'll talk about that later. How about you?
Well, it's been a wild and woolly week in Red Dirt Land. I almost lost everything in the greenhouse. I did lose my basils, you know, my African basil. I'll just get some. Oh, it's okay. It really is. Because you know what? They had bugs. They had scale. And then on top of that, Bill got it too hot in there. I can't tell him this, but he did. So they got too hot. And then and then my water froze underneath the floor of the greenhouse. I cannot drip my faucets because I'm on a well. And so it doesn't work for us the same way it does in town. If you drip your faucets on a well, you have to reduce all the water in your pressure tank. And it doesn't work. And I had this confirmed by the Shady Nook well people, because then all of a sudden we just didn't have any water. I mean, just all of a sudden, like day before yesterday. And I also caught a stomach virus. So it was like, it was not a happy day, Carol, not a happy day.
No.
And so fortunately they were like, well, we'll put you on the list, but they got us the next day and they came out and our pressure tank after 40 years died. And I mean, that's a good long time for a pressure tank.
That is.
And then we also had trouble with the contact points. Anyway, the point of all that is it's up and running again. And I have water. I got to take a shower. All of those things are lovely. And I took one other hose and used it to do the greenhouse. But now we're cold again. So what I'm going to have to do is fill a 5-gallon bucket or two and put them in the greenhouse and then dip my watering can in it to water them. So greenhouses are complicated. The end. So?
Well, let's play favorites.
Let's do. Let's just move on. What's your favorite?
So my favorite is I went to Menards yesterday because they have these. Yes. So they have these Valley Green 59-cent packets on sale for 10 cents a piece.
Golly.
So I had a rebate coupon that was worth $3. Anyway, look, Dee, I got all these seeds for $2.
So she's, for those who can't see it, which we might put, maybe she'll do a video.
I
took a shower
a
so we could. She has probably 20 packets of seed in her hands for free.
So
for
you don't get a ton, but I'm going to try this. And some of them are marked heirloom variety. So I got little Marvel peas. I've got some Burpee stringless green pod peas. I bought two of those.
I remember both those varieties. Does that make me an heirloom?
Probably. I bought some baby's breath to winter sow. I'm just going to go through these for you. Champion radish.
Oh, I love radishes.
Shasta daisy Alaska, also to winter sow.
Not my favorite Shasta daisy because it flops here. But, for you, it probably is fine.
Marigold sparky mixed colors, heirloom.
That's cute.
Green ice lettuce, something just labeled beefsteak tomato. I should put it like that. Beefsteak tomato.
I think beefsteak is an actual variety.
It is.
Because I grow it.
Some golden wax beans, because I thought, I'll just have a few of those. I'm not a big fan of them.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they're free.
Big Jim chili peppers.
Wow, you found Big Jim. That's amazing.
I know. And, there's just a few seeds, but I only need a few. There's those peas again. Butter crunch lettuce. That's an oldie. Seven top turnips. Says it's an heirloom. I don't know.
I've never heard of that one.
Cracker Jack marigolds. That's an oldie.
I like Cracker Jack, actually.
The Lilliput zinnias. Look at that.
I don't like Lilliput, but that's just me because it's small.
Red corn poppies. I'm going to winter sow those. Cosmos.
Like right now.
Little gem lettuce. You mentioned you were going to try to grow some of those little lettuces. I bought some little gem.
My husband last night had one of those little lettuces for a salad. And I said, hey, I'm going to grow those for you. I'm going to sow them in the greenhouse and make you some little ones so that I can set them out for you. He was so deeply touched by that.
That's nice.
He was really excited.
The last one is a calendula.
Yep.
Pacific Beauty Mix. So, I mean, these seem like pretty good and you don't get a lot. And for 10 cents, I don't expect a lot, but I thought that was wonderful. And I remember last spring, I bought stock flower seeds for them and I bought two packets. They did really well. So I thought, you know what? For $2, which isn't really $2 because I had my rebate coupon to turn in, it was, it's free seeds.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
That's a good favorite. My favorite is I'm just looking through seeds and dreaming. I'm getting ready to file all of my seeds in my big file deal, and I'm just starting to dream about them. One of my clients texted me yesterday and she was like, "What's your favorite tomato?" And I was like, "That's a hard question to ask since I do different ones every single year." So we should probably do a topic on that. That's a little tease.
We should. We should. Not today,
favorite
though.
Tomatoes. Not today. We're going to talk about lilies.
Yeah, but first, let me do this.
We're going to do a quote. I'm sorry. I got ahead of the view.
Nobody will stop you from creating. Do it tonight. Do it tomorrow. That is the way to make your soul grow. And that is by Kurt Vonnegut.
Who is a very famous novelist.
From Indianapolis.
I didn't know he's from Indianapolis.
We have talked about this ad nauseum.
Well, I just don't care that much. I'm so sorry.
The Kurt Vonnegut Museum is just like 10 minutes up the road. I've never been. But
I will try to remember this. I will try. I will do my best. Kurt Vonnegut is from Indianapolis. Okay.
He went to the famous Shortridge High School, which is the same high school my grandmother went to, though she's about 20 years before him.
Wow. Great. What did he write, Carol? What's his most famous book?
I don't know. I don't really read him that much. I just read about him.
I don't know either.
Breakfast of Champions?
Maybe. I'm looking up his famous books right now.
Well, the one
he wrote, I know the one that's famous is Slaughterhouse-Five.
I was going to say Slaughterhouse-Five, which is about his time as a POW. He was a prisoner of war in Dresden, Germany when they bombed Dresden. And they were kept in an underground slaughterhouse, which is how they survived. Horrific. Horrific.
Yeah. He also wrote The Cat's Cradle and Breakfast of Champions. So he wrote a bunch of things. And I do remember now us discussing when he was a prisoner of war. So
he's a cult favorite, I would say.
Yes, I would say he is too, like some others. So can we talk about our flower now?
We should definitely talk about flowers. So the flower, we're going to go with lilies because we're kind of marching down through National Garden Bureau's year of, and it's the year of the lily. And I don't know if this is their bulb. They don't really say anymore. It's year of the lily.
So it's not daylilies because daylilies aren't a bulb and they aren't a true lily. Daylilies are Hemercallis. Lilies are Lilium. So
that's right.
We're going to talk about true lilies. And you wrote an article for Family Handyman, of course you did, on the types of lilies. And there are a bunch of types of lilies out there.
There are 9 divisions of lilies, and the North American Lily Society is another resource. And I'll tell you, you get into these lilies, and like the martagons are
I've tried to grow them. Yeah.
They look like candelabras to me on the garden. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they are beautiful.
Some of the trumpet lilies. Beautiful.
Yeah, and I always get asked about, it's Candidum lily, which is the Madonna lily. It is really hard to grow because it has a problem. I don't know if it's a fungus or if it's, I don't know, but it has a disease issue. So a lot of people do, instead of doing that lily, which is hard to find anyway, they do Easter lilies, which if we don't have a super cold winter, they will sometimes overwinter here too. Can I just talk about my favorite 2 lilies that I grow?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So I have an Asiatic, I think it's an Asiatic trumpet, and it's called Forever Susan. And Forever Susan is one of the most beautiful lilies I've ever grown. And periodically it dies out in my garden because it gets crowded out or whatever. And then I just go buy a few more bulbs and stick them in the ground and it comes back up. It is beautiful, beautiful. And then there's also Sunset Serenade, which is in the same group. And so Asiatic lilies, you know, have the horizontal foliage that goes all the way down the stem.
Right.
Right. And it's real close together. And those are the ones that you see in the box stores in the spring, at least in Oklahoma, you see them because they are very easy to bring to fruition. And also hybridizers have done a lot of work with them and they've done some interspecific hybrids. Now we're going to talk about one of my favorite Orion pets. And my favorite Orion pet is Scheherazade. Uh-huh. I've grown a ton of Orion pets over the years. And honestly, they don't love it here, most of them. And the heat is a lot for them. But Scheherazade has multiplied every year since I put it in and multiplied in a nice way. And it looks really good. And I'll put a picture in our newsletter of it. In fact, I might be able to come up with a little try picture of the three favorites. They're all beautiful. The Asiatics bloom early. They bloom in about May to June. And then my Scheherazade blooms in July when nothing else is blooming. How about you?
I like my, I have a double flowering tiger lily, which is the Floroplano.
I have it too.
And I really like the Martagons, and I have lost the names of mine, but I just love to see that. It's just like they rise up out of the perennial bed and they look like a candelabra with their flowers and stuff. And I, you know, Dee, I don't remember their names. I just know that I like them.
I bet you have Black Beauty.
I probably that have Black Beauty.
Is a very popular lily. I'm looking it up right now. I think it's a Martagon, but it may not be. No, it's an Oriental hybrid that looks like it's a cross between L. henryi and L. speciosum, but it looks like a Martagon. And a lot of people have it because it is a very hardy heirloom. And I grow it. I have it. I also have the Floroplano tiger lily, which I bought from Bustani Plant Farm a long time ago. And I like it too.
I can't remember where I got mine. I know I've given it to my sister that I had some extras. And the thing about the lilies, last year, a big storm knocked a bunch of them over, and I didn't bother to try to stake them. But
they have to be staked, yeah.
They do. If you're going to, yeah, if you're going to have a storm or whatever, it's going to occur right when they're about ready to burst out into flower and they're tall.
Yeah, it's like peonies and iris. Same thing. You can just bet on it. So, yeah, go on and stake them ahead. And the truth is, the Scheherazade, that big Orion pet that's 6 feet tall, it's hard to stake. I have to put in rebar and tie them up, and it's a lot of work. And I have a friend who takes it very seriously. Her name's Lori. She listens to our podcast. And Lori Barger not only stakes her lilies, she also stakes her dahlias. And her husband paints the rebar this beautiful shade of green, so it doesn't show up. So there are some people who take this much more seriously than I do.
Or that I do. Now, the things that people always ask is, can you plant your Easter lilies from church? And the answer is yes. And as Dee has noted, they may or may not overwinter. Most of the times they do overwinter here, and they'll come back up and you'll get a nice white lily. Won't look the same as in church.
No.
Because they've been pinching those to make sure that they only get to a certain height, and they'll get a little bit taller in the garden.
And they've been feeding them and, you know, all the things they do to bring plants to fruition at the moment they want them to do it in the greenhouse.
And then the other thing is, as a cut flower, that pollen can be staining. So you should dip those out. And then the last thing, and my sister won't grow these because she'll say, are they poisonous to cats? And I say, yes, they are poisonous to cats.
Yeah, they are.
But outside the garden.
So I don't bring lilies into the house. Yeah, I don't worry about it in the garden.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
No. But I do in the house because that silly cat I have, I'm going to take a picture of what she did.
I think it causes severe kidney damage if the cat gets into the lilies.
So don't bring your Easter lilies in the house, probably, if you have a cat. That would be my.
But anyway, it's the year of the lily, and I noted that there's a nursery not far from here that has day lilies, hostas, and they've gotten really big into some of these Martagon lilies, especially in the Orient pets, and they're going to have some additional varieties this year, so I will definitely check that out. And they have some clumps growing in their display garden that they think are now big enough that they can dig and divide some of those. So, but it's always fun to go out there because you can see which ones have scent, and because not all of them have scent.
Okay. No. And some people don't like the scent of them. You know? I do. I like them, but maybe not in the house. I think they smell really good out in the garden, though.
Yes.
And some people are allergic to them. They cause allergies.
All right. Do a quote.
Oh, it's time for another quote. The most important thing in life is to stop saying, I wish, and start saying, I will. Consider nothing impossible, then treat possibilities as probabilities. And that is by Charles Dickens, who used to walk all the time, which was good for him.
So you notice our theme today.
I do. It's about being, you know, having the will to do things.
Go do stuff. Yeah. So continuing our vegetable topic of catalogs, we have two new catalogs today. You're going to talk about the Southern Exposure Seed Exchange catalog, and I'm going to talk about Pine Tree Garden Seeds.
Okay. You go first.
So Pine Tree Garden Seeds, I'm going to hold the catalog up because we might put this whole thing out as a video. I don't know yet. They decided to feature radishes on the cover, which is interesting. But
that is an interesting choice, isn't it?
Yeah. They're located up in Maine, and they were put on the catalog, established in 1979. The thing I like about Pine Tree is they have all your good basic varieties and then, you know, some new stuff. They have smaller packets of seeds, so they cost less per packet than a lot of them, which is nice, especially when you're talking about peppers, eggplant, tomatoes. Because if you're going to, I mean, I need to get two peppers plants of the variety or two tomato plants of the variety. And so by having fewer seeds, I can actually get more. So that is very, very nice. And they have tons of tomatoes like they all do. Look, there's Midnight Snacks. That's one of my favorites. Look at D with her Pine Tree Garden Seeds.
Yeah, I ordered some. Yeah, they have some really great seeds. Oh, and they have their own mix of radishes, which I bought.
Cool.
So that was cool.
Yeah, they have radishes. They have vegetables like everybody. They have herbs. They have flowers. They have some fruit plants too. But I'm looking here and the one thing, and we'll talk about another seed company later, but they just are a lovely company and I enjoy doing business with them. I enjoy their seeds.
I
will order some seeds from them this year because as I look through here, even though people say, well, Carol, last week you talked about 61 packets of burpee seeds you bought, and this week you bought another 21 at Menards again. Do you really need some more seeds? And the answer is emphatically, absolutely. So anyway, that's Pine Tree Garden Seeds. Their website is called superseeds.com, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right on the cover, superseeds.com. And so... And their website, it's one of the easiest websites to use for ordering. I mean, it's just click. It doesn't click and take you to a page where you have to select a quantity. You can just click and it's in your cart. Click and it's in your cart, which is
great.
Good and bad. Because you can go pretty quick and you can fill a cart pretty good. But they're a great company. And I always do pretty well with Pine Tree Garden Seeds.
I like them too. I think they're great. And they've had free shipping, so go them. Next up is Southern Exposure Seed Exchange, which I actually, when I wrote my book, I featured them as one of my sources. And part of that is because, I'm holding it up, is because it all of their seeds are grown in the South. And having seeds that are grown, having plants that produce seed that is grown in a climate similar to yours is a good thing. And they focus a great deal on heirlooms, but they also focus on some new things too. And everything is a lot of their things are tested and grown at their own farm. It is a great group. And the people who own this company, it's hard to explain. It's owned by a group of people.
A cooperative.
And so, yeah, it's a cooperative. Thank you. And so Ira Wallace she's like head of that group or the revered mother of that group. And she's a good friend of ours and we love her. And she celebrated her 75th birthday this past year. And she's written a bunch of books about the South. And she also received a James Beard Foundation Leadership Award and a profile in the New York Times. And she is called the godmother of Southern heirloom seeds. So most of their focus is on heirlooms. You can get, I mean, like they have a bunch of different varieties of okra, among other things. So they're just a really great company. I like them.
Yeah, they have, they also have, if you like collard greens, they have an amazing number of collard greens as well.
Because she did a whole research thing.
Yes.
She's well known for her huge research deal on collard greens. And they saved a bunch of varieties that were almost extinct.
That is wonderful. So. That is a wonderful organization. So that's Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. And if you don't have the catalog, dear listeners, they all have websites, and so you can go out to the websites and you can buy from them directly. So,
well, and once you buy from them, they'll send you catalogs.
Let's talk a minute about how we're going to organize our seeds.
So how we're going to organize our seeds. Well, mine are organized in two big three-ring binders, and I actually went on Amazon and I bought the I bought the deals that fit the inserts that the seeds actually fit into, and they're made for seeds. I did it with photo album stuff for a while, you know, like that. They don't fit as well into the pockets. But what I love about this is you can flip and see both sides of the seed packet. See? So, yeah. And I have a separate.
I didn't realize they had sheets for seeds. I was just like, oh.
I know you were looking really surprised. I can find you the link on Amazon. They're not as, they're a little more expensive than the photo albums, but they also don't fall out, because the ones I was using, the top seeds always fell out of the sleeve when I would turn the page. And they don't do that anymore. And I think it's four packets of seed per page, but you can also put another packet down the backside. So for example, if you have Dolce Fresca Basil and you have three packets of it, I don't know why you would, but maybe you would. So that way you can, you know that you have three packets of it. And so that's how I organize mine. How do you, and one is flowers, one binder is flowers, and one binder is veggies and herbs. And they're alphabetized. This is extremely organized for me, Carol. You got to admit.
That is very organized for you. Mine are just like in these trays, and I just kind of put them in there, sorted by groupings of early spring stuff, winter sow stuff, and then summer stuff. But I was thinking about whether I would do a spreadsheet, or you mentioned making a Trello board to put all your seeds on so you could keep track of what you have.
Too many seeds. Yeah, too many seeds for Trello. But I could do it on a spreadsheet, but it's highly unlikely.
Well, so if you did it on a Google Doc sheet, you could put it on your phone pretty easily. My thing is, you get so many, and I want to go and see, do I have it? If I go out to the store to buy or whatever, I want to be able to quickly decide if I've got it or not without flipping through all those pages. So I probably will use a spreadsheet or Trello. I'm going to do that. That's my goal this week.
Okay.
Anyway, and so next week we'll either have two more seed catalogs or we won't. I'll do a quote. Do all the good you can and make as little fuss about it as possible. Charles Dickens.
There you go. On the bookshelf, we this time did The Wisdom of Flowers, which I went out and bought because I loved the cover of yours.
And I got it from the library. And the full title is The Wisdom of Flowers, Essential Life Lessons for Joy and Well-Being by Liz Martin. And it has some beautiful illustrations by an artist named Rosie Dorr, who also has a website, rosiedorr.com. And so we'll just kind of hold up a page, Dee, so people can see, like, there's a little reflection on the flower and then a picture. And yes, of course, mm-hmm, I went and looked for my, whenever I get a book of flowers, I'm going to look up violets. And it's a beautiful illustration of violets. And this is the typical thing that they write.
It is.
The heading is Life is Full of Surprises. She wrote, and it's pretty short. These beautifully scented little purple flowers bloom enthusiastically in the spring in Europe and Asia. Their superpower is that they self-seed widely and can pop up in all sorts of unexpected locations where the previous spring there were no flowers at all. Shakespeare loved violets and mentions them often in his plays. They may be the wanderers of the flower world, but surprisingly, they are still believed to symbolize faithfulness.
That's interesting. Okay, I'm going to read Common Lilac just because I want to. And it's Syringia vulgaris, because the word vulgar always means common. And it's be generous. Catching the beautiful scent of the lilac flower on a warm evening is a sure sign that summer has arrived. So intoxicating is its perfume that the ancient Celts concluded that the lilac tree must be in possession of magical powers. In Russian folklore, holding lilac over a newborn was thought to bestow the gift of wisdom. If lilac blooms are brought into the house, however, the scent can become cloying and overpowering. So leave them on the tree where they can be enjoyed by all. And I have a common lilac, and it makes me happy.
That is lovely. So I did get mine from the library.
Yeah, it's a lovely book.
And it's due back on the 26th. So I will take it back. And I think that if I encounter this in a bookstore or whatever, I probably am going to buy it, because it's one of those nice gifty books. Or
yeah, it'd be great. It'd be a great
set gift. It on a little side table. It's easy to pick up and just pick to a page and just read about that flower, or put it on the nightstand. So you can pick it up and read it instead of looking at your phone, Carol. But anyway.
Yeah, Dee.
So anyway, with that, let me just say that again. The Wisdom of Flowers, Essential Life Lessons for Joy and Well-Being by Liz Martin and illustrated by Rosie Dorr. And I will say, Liz Marvin has written How to Be More Tree, The Secret Lives of Animals, Dog Speak, and The Windowsill Gardener. And I do remember How to Be More Tree, and I think that's one I picked up at the library as well. And it's kind of the same thing, different trees and then lessons from the trees. Very clever.
It is a clever way to write it. What a good idea. Ready for another quote?
I am.
Don't plant your bad days. They grow into weeks. The weeks grow into months. Before you know it, you've got yourself a bad year. Take it from me. Choke those little bad days. Choke them down to nothing. They're your days. Choke them. That's by Tom Waits. That's funny. Where'd you find that?
I don't know. I don't know where.
Isn't Tom Waits a singer or songwriter?
You know what? I don't know that either.
I think he is. It sounds like a song, doesn't it?
Yes, it does sound like a...
Yes, he's a musician and composer.
Yeah.
And he looks to me like he sings the blues or like he sings... Yeah, he sings like bluegrass and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of that choose your attitude mentality. It's like you can choose for it to be a bad day and then assume that all the rest of the days are going to be bad, or you can, as you say, choke them.
You can choke them. So for our dirt, it's Winter Words, which was sent to us by our friend Kathy of Cold Climate Gardening.
Yes, and this is from Merriam-Webster, and we'll put a link because on the link, they'll tell you origins of the word and how it's used, but some of them are kind of interesting.
Yeah, they are. I remember seeing apricity, which is the warmth of the sun in winter, and it is much appreciated when it's cold outside.
Yes, and we could use some sun. I think we're going to get some sun on Sunday. I like subnivian, which is situated or occurring under the snow. And now that we have snow,
so like when things are
probably a lot of subnivian activity from the voles and other creatures down there.
Yep. They're psychrophilic, which is thriving at a very low temperature.
I think of like penguins and polar bears and and then
primaveral, which is of or relating to early spring, which that's why pasta primavera is always a springtime pasta that has peas and other spring vegetables.
Right. And then hymel is of or relating to winter.
Yep. And we should point out that Kathy lives in a very cold climate. And so that's why she is into these words.
Yes. So anyway,
we're all a cold climate right now.
Yeah. It's just a fun thing. And you can impress your friends by saying, I wonder what subnivian activity is occurring under the snow.
My friends and family would look at me like I was nuts, but that'd be okay.
I love the feel of apricity on my face.
Me too.
All right. I'll do another quote. We'll go further. Wait, did I do the quote before or you did that?
No, I did. It's your turn.
Finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities no doubt crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. You shall begin it serenely and with too high a spirit to be encumbered with your old nonsense. Ralph Waldo Emerson.
I like that one. So our rabbit holes, do you want me to do mine first?
Yes.
So I've been researching alternative pain relievers because I can no longer take NSAIDs. And NSAIDs are like ibuprofen,
right?
Aleve. Aspirin is actually an NSAID. They make my mouth break out. Nobody really knows why this occurs. It's just one of those weird things. So I've been using both a CBD cream that is made from hemp, but I've also been using a very delightful arnica gel called Arnicare gel.
Uh-huh.
And arnica, I knew that arnica was a pain reliever, and some people take it internally. And I actually do have a Genexa brand of arnica I can take, but I haven't noticed it made that much difference. But this little gel that I'm holding up, which is made by a company called Boron, they have a whole line of arnica stuff. So you can go for lotions, which if you have alpha gal, you might not be able to use, but this little gel you can definitely use. And so I thought, what is arnica? I knew it was an herb, but it is a perennial herb in the sunflower family, our favorite Asteraceae. And it has simple leaves. They can be toothed or smooth margins. And it also has glandular trichomes, which are hairs. And the Latin name for arnica is Arnica montana, which translates to wolfsbane or leopardsbane, which is interesting because I thought wolfsbane was bad, but I don't know. Anyway, arnica gel is great, and arnica is a great little plant to have that helps out with, it's supposed to help out with muscle pain and stiffness and swelling from injuries and bruises. So I tried Voltaren, by the way, which is an NSAID that's a gel. Uh-huh. A lot of doctors prescribe it, but it's OTC, so it's not really prescribed. I couldn't tell it did a thing. I'm not kidding. I mean, I just couldn't tell a thing. If I put on the arnica, though, it's great.
Cool.
And this only has arnica in it. It does not have, sometimes they have other stuff in them, too.
Well, and I always.
So, and I also found out, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I also found out, because I was looking, as always, at the inactive ingredients. It has something called carbamer. C-A-R-B-O-M-E-R. And I thought, what is carbamer? Because now I have to look up all these weird ingredients. It's a polymer that was created specifically for gels to be able to make them get into your skin faster. And it is not mammal related. It's vegan. So there you go. That's my rabbit hole.
Well, now I'm down in that rabbit hole and I'm looking up leopard's bane, the common name, and it's in the aster family, but they're giving it another botanical name. Doronicum.
Yeah. So it may be that, you know, maybe, you know how common names
are.
Oh,
yeah.
Who knows? And maybe, yeah, who knows what that, yeah. Just call it arnica. Everybody knows it by that. So there you go. What about your rabbit hole?
So my rabbit hole was, well, after I went down the rabbit hole of the Stanley Cup to find out what in the world is with this cup that everybody has to have.
Yeah. It's nuts.
I dug down more into Substack because I did a presentation to a local writers group that I Zoom with once a month, the Central Indiana yeah. Writers Association. And I did a program on Substack because I know more about it than most of those people. But anyway, when I was doing that, I learned that they suggest you have what's called a hero post. And I wrote one for my mm-hmm. Lost Ladies at Garden Writing, and you pin it to the top. So if somebody comes across your Substack, they could read that first and know kind of what's going on. And it got me thinking that maybe Dee, we're going to have to write a second post for the Garden Angelist. That'll be our hero post yeah. and we'll pin it to the top. So if somebody comes across it, they're like, what is going on here? And it'll explain.
They know it's us. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So we should work on that together.
Okay. We will do that.
And that was my rabbit hole. Not much to it.
No, actually, I didn't know there was such a thing as a hero post. But I will say this, I love Substack. And if I had it to do over again, I would probably do my blog on Substack now. Although I've been thinking about that a lot because I do update my blog about once a week or once every 2 weeks. I wasn't able to update it this week because Katie Elzer-Peters was actually working on some problems on it and she didn't want me to update it and us lose it. Right. So I didn't update it this week, but I'm getting ready to write a seeds post. That's my next thing to write. But I don't write a newsletter for my blog anymore. So I've actually been thinking about trying to find something other than whatever that company is that does my blog. You know, the monkey company
MailChimp.
That distributes it. Thank you, MailChimp. All I could think of was SurveyMonkey. And I was like, no, it's not SurveyMonkey. It's MailChimp, which a chimp is not actually a monkey, but whatever. So MailChimp has now raised its price to $45 a month. And I'm like, I know I have quite a few subscribers, but good grief, that's ridiculous.
That is.
So I'm going to talk to Katie about that. And Carol may cut all of this out of the podcast because it has nothing to do with plants other than I'm going to write about seeds this week. So what are you going to do on your garden commission?
So I do need to sow more microgreens because those the ones in there are done. I'm definitely going to organize my mm-hmm. seeds, spreadsheet or Trello or something. And then I may prep some seeds for winter sowing because the temperatures are supposed to warm up next week. I've been keeping gallon water jugs to this. And so I probably have a ton of them out there by the end of next week. Plus, for some reason, I now have a bunch of fungus gnats in my kitchen. Ugh, I need to get rid of them. They are driving me insane.
So what are you going to tell people what you're going to do to get rid of them?
So I do two things. I have those little yellow sticky things, which strips. Are gross.
Yeah, the sticky strips, they are gross.
And then
they work.
I put apple cider vinegar in a little container and they drown in there.
I have a really pretty little container that my mom bought off of QVC years ago. And they crawl up inside it and has a little cap on the
top. I have one
it's
of those.
Pretty. And when I get them.
I have one of those.
Yeah, I love that thing. It works really well. But so will a very small container that you stab holes into. It's just they have to drown. And don't water very much. Because the more you water, the more of them you get.
And then by the time this episode airs, Dee, I will be 65 years old.
That's right. It's almost your birthday.
I know.
Happy, happy, happy.
So
I'm really happy.
I'm going to ask every place I go, do you have senior discounts?
Might as well.
We'll see. What are you going to do this week?
I'm going to sow some seeds for those lettuces because I should put them out probably at the end of February. And we're at the, I might wait in one more week. I need to sow my onion seeds, but you know, I had all those disasters in the greenhouse. So I've been a little reluctant. And what I could do, this sounds like too much work, but I could run and get the right lights, you know, the new lights,
the LEDs,
my light table,
the LEDs.
Yes, the LEDs, because my other lights are just tired and they need to go. So I could do that, but I'll probably just put them in the greenhouse because, you know, that's a good way to sow them. So maybe I'll sow onion seeds. Keep everything watered. That's going to be some work until we unfreeze, until that line unfreezes. So that's my goal. And put my seeds in their proper places because I haven't done that.
Yeah, you need to do that. That's all right. Well, that is it. We want to thank you for listening to The Garden Angelist. I hope you've hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. We publish every week on Wednesdays at 12 a.m. Eastern Time.
And if you listen to Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review that helps us get noticed by others. Could you also share our podcast with your friends? Word of mouth is still the best way to get the word out there.
And be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites.
And be sure to subscribe to our Substack newsletter, The Garden Angelist at Substack.com. Also linked to in our show notes, because now you know that I will not be doing a newsletter outside of this one. If you do, you also get a link to listen early to the podcast.
And if you want to help support us, use those affiliate links. If you buy something after clicking through on them, we earn a small commission and it costs you nothing.
Or you can set up a monthly subscription through Buzzsprout or make a one-time donation through PayPal. Thank you to everyone who's done so.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the garden gate. Bye until next week.
Bye, everyone.